Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are coming to the end of our Lenten journey through the Old Testament, looking at God's covenants with his people. In the last month, we've seen how God gave the people of Israel blessings, promises and laws through covenants with Noah, Abraham and Moses. Last week, we also saw how God started to broaden his covenant to all people. No longer would the covenant be just for a small tribe in the Middle East, but God's blessings would flow through the cross of Christ to everyone on earth. This week, we'll draw our journey from sin through to salvation to a close by looking at God's promises made to his people through the prophet Jeremiah. Promises already begun in the life and work of our Lord Jesus. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. We pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Question: how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Answer: change. Lutherans don't change. Like most jokes, there's a grain of truth in this one. Most Lutherans are uncomfortable with change. We are creatures of habit. If you don't believe me, just consider where you are sitting. Now, I'm not having a go at you. You're welcome to sit wherever you like. Being resistant to change is not always a bad thing, especially in a world that embraces change uncritically, with no care for the consequences. The flip side of resistance to change is stability and dependability. And that can be good if we have something good we want to preserve. For example, holding on to the clear proclamation of the gospel Lutherans have inherited from the reformers. But this trait can be problematic when we want to hold on to something that is not good, for example, false teaching. Then resistance to change becomes a liability. I mention this today because the people of Israel were very Lutheran in this respect, or maybe we're like them. They too were resistant to change. When they resisted becoming like the pagan peoples around them, this trait was a strength. But more often than not during their history with God, the Israelites were like their neighbours, and they resisted God's desire for them to change. They resisted his calls for them to reject their idolatry and return to him. This is the background to today's reading. When God led the people of Israel out of Egypt, he made a covenant with them. In verse 32 of our reading, God likens the covenant to marriage. God promised to be a husband to his people, loving them, caring for them, and being faithful to them forever. Sadly, more often than not, the people did not reciprocate God's love. Instead, they acted like an unfaithful wife, entering into relationships with false gods, committing spiritual adultery with idols. And this went on for centuries until God finally had enough. Since the people were not willing to change, God allowed changing circumstances to make the people aware of their unfaithfulness and their need for him. God allowed first the Assyrians to conquer Israel, and then the Babylonians to conquer Judah and take the people away into exile. In this time of unwelcome change, Jeremiah wrote to the exiles, assuring them that while they might have given up on the covenant with God, God had not given up on them. He continued to love his unfaithful people and promised to be faithful to them. Yes, God had allowed the Jews to suffer the consequences of their sin, but he had not abandoned them. After 70 years of exile, he would return them to their land. What's more, God would make a new covenant with them. He would make a change in the people's relationship with him for their good, At first glance, the new covenant described by Jeremiah doesn't appear very new, does it? God would still be Israel's God, and they would still be his people. And the new covenant would still include God's law given at Sinai. So it's true, the substance of the new covenant would remain the same as the old covenant. But the form of the covenant, how God's law comes to the people, would change. Rather than the law being something external to them, written on tablets of stone, the law would be inside the people. Rather than the law being imposed from the outside on the people's hearts and minds, it would be implanted inside them to transform them from the inside out. As I explained in the sermon on the Ten Commandments a few weeks ago, one of the biggest problems we humans have with God's law is that it not only demands right action, but right attitude. But whereas humans can at least appear on the outside to obey God's law, we know that inside we frequently rebel against it. We frequently grumble against God, like the Israelites did in last week's reading in the desert. The problem of right action but wrong attitude was something Jesus often warned the Pharisees about. For example, in Matthew 23, he likened them to a cup that was sparkling clean on the outside, but was dirty on the inside, full of greed, hypocrisy, and self-indulgence. But, Jesus explained, if the Pharisees were to clean the inside, then the outside would also be clean. If their attitude was right, then right action would follow. The problem for those Pharisees, and for us if we're honest, is that we can't clean up our insides. Nor, under the influence of sin, do we even want to. But God can clean both us up, and he can motivate us to let him do so. That is why in Jeremiah, through the new covenant, God is promising to implement a change that will fix the human problem once and for all. God promises to renew our hearts and our minds so that our attitude towards him and his law is right from the get-go, and then right action will naturally follow. God instituted this new covenant through his Son, Jesus Christ. Luke 22 tells us that on the night before Jesus died on the cross, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. But rather than just repeating what had been done in the past, Jesus changed the Passover into something new. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The new covenant was instituted by the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. It did so not only by forgiving people's sins, but by thoroughly changing them from the inside out. As the writer to the Hebrews explains in chapter 9, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God?" Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can be confident that God has fulfilled his promise through Jeremiah to forgive our wickedness and remember our sins no more. And now, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we receive again the blood of the new covenant to clean us up from the inside out, assure us of God's love, and strengthen our faith in his promises. What's more, when we enter into the new covenant through baptism, we also receive God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's role is to change us from old covenant people to new covenant people. He changes our minds so that we not only remember and understand what Jesus has taught us, but he helps us to willingly obey Jesus' commands. And the Holy Spirit changes our hearts so that we are not only motivated to do the right thing, but we actually enjoy doing the right thing. Doing good becomes a natural expression of who we are. The Bible likens this process in various places to a tree or a vine bearing fruit. A plant doesn't think about producing fruit, but if it's a healthy plant, it just does. It is the nature and purpose of a good tree to bear good fruit. In the same way, the people of the New Covenant produce fruit of the Spirit if they remain connected to Jesus and receive his life-giving sap constantly. Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, admittedly, we're all still works in progress. The new covenant has come and has started to change us, but the change will only be completed when Jesus comes again. But this is no cause for sadness. As much as the change can be painful, as much as we struggle to live in the new covenant, we are already receiving its blessings. We can already see that God's law is good for our protection and our guidance. And with the Holy Spirit's help, we are starting to see it become a natural part of us, rather than something outside and separate from us. Already we have a glimpse of the not-too-distant future, when we will know our Lord intimately, when we will live in his presence, face to face, forever. Paul likens this change from old to new covenant to be like the lifting of a veil separating us from God and his word. In 2 Corinthians, Paul explains the transformation we are undergoing like this. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Dear people of God, in the new covenant, you have a change for good. You still have God's law and his promises from the old covenant, but they now come from within rather than from without. Through the sacrifice of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, God has started to break down your resistance to change. He has started to change your hearts so that you want to obey his law and rejoice in it, and so you can grow the fruit of the Spirit. Not out of compulsion, but out of love for him and for your neighbor. So don't resist change, but embrace it with joy, because even Lutherans can change. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.